So today my guest is a guy named Zach Lavoie. Now, the best guests we've had on Owner's Table have been people that have been referred to by previous guests. Ari Hicks, great friend of mine, referred us to Zach. And after talking... What's the best investment that you've ever made?
Why I pause is I'm having a hard time. I don't want to bring the people in that I invested. You know, I don't want to bring their business in to it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's their personal life. We have done some owner. I've owner financed some things.
Financing it to other people.
I love owner financing.
Really?
Yes, it's phenomenal.
A lot of people want to owner finance things, meaning they're the ones paying the note.
Uh-huh.
So why do you enjoy the owner financing part so much?
Which, by the way, the 675 guy, I definitely would have said, why can't you buy your place? Why don't I have enough money? Well, let's talk to somebody that will owner finance you what you need so you can build. But if you can afford the 675 and you need this, let's go this route before you rent something.
Sure.
Because at least you're betting on yourself again.
Absolutely.
You know, have you ever done covered calls or have you ever traded options?
No.
You asked me if I invested, and as a kid I was. That's what I was doing. I would take these, I would buy these stocks and I would sell covered calls or options.
Okay.
And very quickly on that, you own a stock and you sell someone the right to purchase it at a higher price.
Yep.
Or depending on if it's a call or a put. And if they don't exercise that right, you keep that money and it lowers the cost basis of your particular stock, right?
Give me a number example. $10. You buy it for 10.
You buy 1,000 shares at 10. So it's $10,000.
$10,000.
Yeah. You sell the option to sell it at $1,250.
Okay.
And it's $1,000, right?
Right.
So some guy has the news it's going to go to 14, okay? It only costs him $1,000 to have the right but not the obligation to buy it at $1,250 when it goes to 14.
Mm.
If it doesn't go to 12, right, or 14, he can just lose the $1,000.
Lose $1,000.
But
you keep the $1,000.
But you keep the $1,000. So now I have a $9,000 cost basis, right? And I can do it again.
Mm.
And I can do it again, and I can do it again, right? If he exercises it, well, he made $250.
Yeah.
Assuming you bought it at 10.
Sure.
Right? He may not exercise it because there's an intrinsic value that happens from $10 to $1,250. If it goes to $1,150 and he still has a time value scenario in there, he can now sell it for maybe $1,500.
Mm.
So his investment, now think about him, he made 50% on his money, right? So I was taking my money and selling these covered calls and just loving it. All right. To me, owner financing is that same way, and even especially if you do a lease to purchase.
So
you're selling someone the right but not the obligation to purchase at another point, and it's at this cost, which is the rent, right? It's the same way to do it, and you're lowering your cost basis on that particular property. If they do exercise the right, then you made the $1,250, right? If they don't exercise the right, you made all the rent, you can do it again. That's a lease to purchase scenario. On owner finance scenario, this gets a little, unfortunately,
So we're talking about owner financing and lease to purchase. They're totally different things.
But I'm going to lease to purchase to you and owner finance it when you're ready. Because some people only want to know if they're going to keep that engineering job in Birmingham. You follow me?
The lease to purchase.
I better stay around a year. And if I do, I'm going
to
like it.
And that's lease to purchase.
Uh-huh. Do I like the neighborhood? But I'm also going to attach an owner finance note behind it. The thing is, you have to have the capital to own it, right?
Own the whole home.
Or find a partner that's willing to split that particular, like they want to get in that business with you as well. Why would I want to be an owner finance? Well, here's why. These are the reasons why, right? You require 30% down.
Owner financing, not lease to purchase.
On an owner finance scenario. But the lease to purchase can help on that money down. You follow me?
Okay.
Okay.
So what you're saying is you'll have a house. Let's just call it a $200,000 house, and you'll say 30% down. Johnny's got to put $60,000 down, and you're owner financing it, but it's a lease to purchase.
Mm-hmm. But what did I pay for it? Because I'm also a flipper.
Yeah, 100. Say you paid 100.
110. All right, so you see where my liability sits versus where. Now, maybe Johnny doesn't have 60 grand to put down. Maybe he comes to me and he says, I am an engineer, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is my credit score. Will you take 30,000 down? Well, if I look at if I have 140, let's say, in it, I fixed it up and this is where I am, and I can sell it for the 200, well, sure, you're going to give me 30. So what did I do?
I'm now at 110.
Well, I'm at, right. I've lowered my cost basis. He still owes me 170, right? And we're on a good path here because I'm making 8-9% a month. I mean, a year on that money, right? If he doesn't pay,
it's your house. house.
It's your house back. If he does pay, sir, you may have a 30-year mortgage with me if you'd like at 8.5%, 9%, because I'm at a better, in my opinion, I'm at a better position than sitting in the market making 12% a year on average.
No question, because it's not going to go down.
It's not going to go down.
And if they leave, if they skip town, they miss 2 months, get your stuff, put it on the right street, and that sounds awful, but I've had to do it for, and so have you.
Don't want to.
Don't want to.
I've never not helped them recapture their home. Really? I've just reset the terms. It's my mortgage.
Sure.
So I've never kicked them out.
Yeah.
I've kicked out tenants that don't pay rent.
That's what I've done. I had to do that.
Which is sad.
Very.
But yeah,
you ever had to get the sheriff involved?
Once.
Yeah, me too.
Once.
Sucks.
It does.
It sucks. And it's not cheap either. They're already down $2,000. They're already out $2,000. Then you got to go pay $350
right
to get the so and so, and then you got to pay another so and another $250 to get the shot. It's just
I had to evict a guy that had died in my apartment.
Oh, God bless it.
And it happened, and you have to go through the sheriff because the relatives can then say, "You kicked my dead relative out and took all his stuff." So you have to. I don't know if you've ever gotten into that.
No, never had that happen.
Full eviction with a guy that had been dead, probably, God love him, 4 or 5 months. It took me to get the eviction of this guy because there's a diamond ring in there and you didn't go through it all, the family could sue. So isn't that wild?
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So when you said, what's the best deal I've ever done? Owner financed a deal, $300. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any money.
No money.
With this deal. And
how did you not have any money in the deal?
No, I had no money to give these people. All right. So I was young. I was in the mortgage business and they came to me and they had a 500 credit score. And they wanted to buy this farm, $400,000. It was $400,000. All right, I'm young, early 20s. And I went to my little bank because I was making money. And I said, and I knew the mortgage business. And I said, no, I negotiated first with the family. And I said, will y'all take $300 for this property? And he said, sure, we'll take the $300 on it. So I went to the bank and said, I've got a family that's willing to pay $400. I was up front with them. Will you guys remove, do you know wraparound mortgages?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, they're unlawful.
It can be.
It can be. Yeah. If you don't pay the payments, they can call the loan, right?
Correct.
There's a rider in there that says.
They're all in the same family. They can call it. They can do a due on sale clause.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't happen very. Never happens.
But the other thing is the person you sell to needs to be aware. Otherwise, you've affected their life. They've in
their
good
credit,
faith paid
yeah.
you, and you've taken their money and not paid the mortgage. Now, they're in a foreclosure process, so now you have a deed situation that can get you in trouble.
Okay, so you bought it for $300. Okay, why don't you just wholesale it?
Because, check this out. So I went to the bank and said, well, you got...
Education 101, people. Clip all these.
I'm sorry I'm a talker.
We
have it. We have 15 more minutes.
No, we got as long as we need. But what I'm saying is this is stuff that, like, this is interesting stuff that people don't know. So they want to buy it for $400. You go to the people that own the farm and say, will you take $300 for it? You get it secured
at $300.
At $300.
Told the family, if y'all want to do this deal, there's no loan out there for you. I'll loan it for you, but it's got to be, I'm getting it at $300. I need you to understand that. And that if you're happy to buy it at $400, well, does it appraise for $400? It actually appraises for $475. So you guys are going to make some money.
Yeah.
Sure, let's do it. We're happy with that. Okay, go to the bank.
Where you're going.
Now, back then you could charge 15% on hard money deals, okay? So I went to the bank and I said, rates are 5.5%. Will you guys remove the rider out of this, okay? And then I'll pay you 5.5% and I'm going to collect 15. So I'm making this 9.5%.
They agreed to 15 because they had a 500 credit score.
Yeah, well, it was just a standard rate. Like, you can't ask 15 now. You have to be 10 or 12 on a hard money. DSCR loans, you're aware of those? Okay, so those, I mean, you can get those all day long at 9, right? So a hard money loan isn't like it used to be.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, guess what? I need money down. I need 100 down from them. So I can put 100 down on
the 300, yeah.
So my 300's 2. Their 400's 3 now.
Mm.
Okay, they paid for 9 years. I paid mine off in like 2.5. So then I collected that 15%, 50. Every, and a partner. I don't want to say just me.
Yeah,
my partner
yeah.
that's still, we're yeah. still, I own two companies in Alabama. Lost and Found are the two companies.
Nice.
And this one, Found Properties, Lost and then Found Properties.
Yeah.
And Lost is Lavoie and Strong is two, my buddy and partner, good friend, brother, really. They got to where they didn't, we paid you long enough. Well, not really. Because
no, ma'am.
This isn't how this works because...
They said that?
Yeah, pretty much we've just paid you long enough. So if you're going to foreclose, try to. try to foreclose on us. Well, I don't really want to foreclose on you. How do I say that? How do I go here? Let's go this route.
Yeah.
So they say, we're not paying more. Foreclose on us and we're suing you. We're suing you because you've collected this amount of money for all these years. Well, listen, we hired an attorney for you at closing. We hired a real estate agent for you. We covered ourselves, you know what I mean? To make sure this is the part of real estate. Don't count your chickens. Actually figure out that all of them are going to break.
Correct.
Then put your suspenders on, put your belt on, and now go into play, right? Yeah. So with this, the way it ended up working out was we still have a 500 credit score. I said, why don't y'all just refinance out? I've been telling y'all to refinance
the money.
Just get a better rate. So I went to the son, we will work a way to get you a mortgage. You've got a great credit score. You're doing your thing. Your parents can stay where they are. We will act like we're going to foreclose, and then you can buy that foreclosure from us.
Right.
But it's going to cost you $50,000 more to do that just because we're giving, look at all the growth that's happened here. And he said, yeah, good deal. That's a good deal. We'll do it. So that's probably one of the best deals we've done.
How about that?
Because I had zero money.
Didn't put anything in.
And we cleared a bunch. If you figure, you know, how much.
9 years.
How much that works out on.
9 years, and you paid it off in 2.5, so just call it 9 and 2. So you collected rent for 7 years, mortgage payments for 7 years.
And then
got paid.
Yeah, so that was a pretty good deal. There's been some investment deals that we've done really well.
Worst deal you've ever done? Lost money.
Lost money. Besides the restaurant, because I lost money. But we made money, in the long run. But I don't know. I can't say that it would be investments. It would be like that I bought Lucent at 90 and rode it to 3. Or I speculated on some crypto and watched it 10 times its money and then watched it go all the way back to nothing. You know, there's times that I get a little bit too, optimistic. I'm too optimistic. It's going to keep going.
Keep going.
It's going to be great. Okay, there's this great philosophy on you buy a stock at $2, you sell it at $4, you're happy. Have you heard this? Have you heard this philosophy?
Uh-uh. All right,
you buy it at $2, you sell it at $4, you're happy. You buy it at $2, you sell it at $4, and it goes to $1, you're a genius, right?
Yeah.
So you buy it at $2, you sell it at $4, and it goes to $8, you're an idiot. But it's all the same. You still made the $2, right? So there's this perspective of, it's all about perspective, right? So I would say my worst deals in anything that I've done is I allowed my perspective to become skewed. I should have said, I've made 10 times my money. I should be happy here. And I just need that next
little
bit.
You need a little bit more.
And then when it goes down, it's like, well, it's going to stay. So I'm not going to give specifics there, but that's going to be my worst. But real estate, I don't think I've lost in a deal since I've, out of the 400 and some odd houses I've flipped, I've broken even, which is a loss of time. I haven't lost any money yet. Thank God.
So you're obviously a real estate investor.
Uh-huh.
Would you consider yourself more a flipper or just a real estate investor in general?
Bread and butter is flips.
Okay.
Yeah. Bread and butter is flips. And then that capital that's made goes into, I'm going to buy this piece over here. I'm going to buy that lake property. I'm going to buy an apartment building. You know, that's how that's worked.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it's worked.
What was your first passive income play?
The owner finance.
The owner finance.
The first passive was the owner finance. Just go by the mailbox and get it.
Where is your biggest, what's your biggest passive agreement today? Like, what is your biggest passive thing that you're doing today? Because here's the thing. There's a big difference in passive income. People think that passive income is just, it just shows up. But then there's also that part of, like, you have to work a little bit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a job. Mm-hmm. So I look at it in three different ways.
Sure, sure.
There's a job, the stuff you kind of got to tend to a little bit, but you don't have to, like, work a lot. And then there's, like, it just shows up every month.
So I'm going to continue on with the owner finances. The biggest position that I have that's passive income.
How many rentals do you have?
Many. 3 houses and 2 commercial pieces is it. I love the commercial side, but I don't like house rental.
So you have a bunch of lease to owns.
Currently?
Yeah.
No, I have owner financing right now. Yeah, I don't have a lot of lease. I'm trying to talk one of the tenants right now. I'm trying to say, hey, why don't y'all quit giving me this rent money? You've been here 4 years. Let's move into buying this house for me. And
they don't want to.
I've owned the house 18 years. It's been a rental property for 18 years.
How many owner financers do you have right now?
A dozen. It's in the.
That's the biggest one.
Figures.
That's the biggest ones for you right now.
Yeah, it's good. I love that. If you were to say stop everything else but one thing,
it would be the owner
finance. You go to the mailbox. You don't hear toilets are broken. You don't hear roofs are leaking. It's their house.
It's safer.
It's their house.
How many of those have you had to go foreclose
on? None except that this one family that we just restructured. But I've restructured. There has been time. See, this is the thing. Like, we call a Wells Fargo and say we're in trouble. They say, well, sorry, you have 90 days. You're going to the courthouse. But when you own a finance, well, why are you in trouble?
Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, have you lost your job? Well, you know, I know what you do. I know you've paid all this time. I can afford to help you for 3 months. I'm not trying to take your home from you. I mean, I actually have a watchful eye above me that says, right, were you a good steward of the blessings I gave you? You know what I mean? I've not had, but we're also choosing who we loan to, right? So there's not been people that are taking advantage of me. I don't think when you call me and say you can't make your payment that you're taking advantage of me.
Sure.
Yeah, so it just works out. So I've not had to, don't want
you
to.
You like the owner.
I hope nobody hears I don't want to foreclose on you.
But what I understand what you're saying.
Keep
making your
payment.
Because you got a soul.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
So that's where it's a slight difference, but to the outside looking in, it's the same. To the outside looking in, you have rental property. But on the inside, you don't have rental property because you're the bank. You don't fix toilets. You don't change light bulbs.
Yeah.
You don't mess with the sewer line.
Right.
Whatever.
I don't get that. Now, the few that I have a management company because I don't want to hear it anyway.
No, I do
too.
I
just pay and I just can't do it.
Yeah, you pay a percentage
and
go
the commercial side, you know, you don't hear about it. That's just in commercial.
They take care of it.
If the roof is leaked, they call. But, I mean, the tenants do. He's got to take care of his own toilet.
Evaluating, what's your litmus test for evaluating these properties that you're buying and holding?
The ones I'm owner financing or the ones I'm flipping?
The ones you're not the flip. We'll get to the flips in a second.
Yeah.
The ones that you look at it. And
it's all value. It's all appraisal and what the loan to value is going to be. I really don't care about credit score. I'm kind of a hustler. So, right? So when somebody comes to me and says, I'm a hustler, can you pay for it?
Yeah.
Tell me what you've done in the past. Tell me where you are.
You look at bank statements?
I will. Yeah. We look at bank statements, but loan to value is a big deal. I mean, if you don't want to show bank statements, but you're putting 50% down, you're not going anywhere.
Where are some of these houses? Give me general areas. The ones you're owner financing.
There's land in Calera.
Okay.
I've got one that's a $500,000 house on Shadecrest Road.
Talk to me the numbers about that. So you have a $500,000 house. What do you make these people put down?
They put down, gosh, man, that's, I don't want to talk about these people's. Here's the problem with this.
Let's do this. Is there a range? So you've got 12.
30% is
okay.
What, yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
So 30%
is what
down.
I want to see.
So you want to put 30% down.
Yeah.
What are the rates? Do the rates range off of prime, or do you say, hey, all of my owner finances are 10%, 8%, 12%?
Only if I want to get rid of it will I come down on the number. I'll look at that and say, well, there's a couple of reasons why. Like, I would like to stay in that 11 to 12%, just depending on it. But if there's a property that maybe I've been sitting on and need it to move, well, I'm okay still at 9, because like I said, I'm still beating the market, I feel
sure,
like, because there's growth on the real estate side of things. You got to be, there's, I don't want to get into the legalities of it, but you got to be careful on predatory lending and what that you're careful with what you do. You
when
don't
you
want to be a predator.
When you say predatory lending, meaning you are lending to someone that's got a 500 credit score, and you look at them and say, hey, Johnny, I'm going to lend you this. You got a 500 credit score, but here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to pay 17%.
Yeah, and I'm going to get you, Johnny, because I know you're not going
to
pay.
I know you can't pay 17%.
Yeah, I'm going to get that 30% out of you, and you're out in 6 months.
That's predatory lending.
Yeah, which to me is.
No, I agree with you.
You don't touch that.
But not many people use that term a lot. And I've heard it, but like that's what that is.
Yeah, that's selling somebody a wish knowing they can't.
Knowing they
can't
do
afford it. And
yeah.
I'd rather say this is what you can afford, and if you don't want to, don't be with me.
Don't come here.
Yeah, we're not going to play that. We're not going to play that game. Some people do that.
Do you ever look at these flips and say, okay, I'm going to buy this. I'm using arbitrary numbers. I'm going to buy it for 100. I'm going to put 50 into it. I got 150. This is a 300,000 ARV house because it was in bad shape or whatever. And then you go, okay, I got 150 in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say, I'm going to owner finance this house?
Sure.
Is that the play that you do a lot, or are you more buying, flipping, and selling?
It's all. It's all whatever opportunity. Okay, so on a lease purchase, I may look at all scenarios with each house. I mean, I don't sit down pen to paper, but we've been doing it so long, you know, it's like, well.
You kind of get it. Oh, yeah.
I got a great deal in Mountain Brook.
I don't have many of them.
What's that?
Great deals in Mountain Brook.
You know what? I'm about to give a secret away.
Yeah.
You know how you get great deals in Mountain Brook? Which is strange to me. Reverse mortgages on the courthouse steps.
Really?
Because you're buying those reverse mortgages and
And they're 92 years old and they're
gone, unfortunately, and then it sells. And now there's some stuff you got to be very careful with. I'm not getting in the
real
estate.
Wow. No, you ain't got to do that. Yeah. Wow. That's so funny.
That's about how you pick up Mountain Brook.
That's the only way you pick up good deals in Mountain Brook.
Yeah, nobody
can. For those of y'all that don't know, Mountain Brook is the richest, nicest city in the state of Alabama. They have the highest property taxes. They got the best schools. They got policemen make the most of anybody in the state. It's borderline utopia.
That's correct. Even flipping there is a borderline.
They're great at everything. They're great at sports. They're great at school.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's really kind of comical. And they've been, but here's the thing. It's been like that since I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always.
I'm 44.
Right.
And it's like, how does it not go down in value? How does it continue to rise in value?
Right.
How does it, old and young people move there?
Yeah, yeah.
But part of that's property taxes. Part of that is like sticklers for codes and things like that.
Well, that when people were asking me what's going to happen when COVID hit, I got a lot of phone calls. You know, what do you think the market's going to do? What do you think the market's going to do? Well, I can tell you where the market's not going to do anything. Mountain Brook, Vestavia, Trustville, you're happy. Buy there. Just buy.
Yeah,
because you're going to be fine. Yeah, yeah, what you put is what you get out. Where are we going? You said, what's my litmus test?
Okay, so you have a house.
Uh-huh.
And you see a house, and you filter it through three things. And you correct me. I'm inferring. I'm going to buy it, fix it, and sell it.
Right.
I'm going to buy it, fix it, and I'm going to lease purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to buy it, fix it, and owner finance it. Those are your three things.
Yeah. That pretty much you know what you're going into, but yes.
But what makes you say, I'm going to lease purchase this over owner financing it? Because there's this much difference. To the untrained eye.
Really?
Yeah, there really is. Most people will say, oh, it's such owner financing. Well, no, it's lease purchase. You see what I'm saying? So what makes you do one over the other?
Growth in an area. For a lease purchase, if I think I'm in a high growth area, well, I'm going to sell a lease purchase at a higher number than I'm going to sell the owner finance. Let's say the house.
Give me an example.
All right, so a house is at 300.
Okay.
But I know that I have a market like Bluff Park, right?
Right.
And somebody's going to lease purchase it. But they want to lease it for 2 years. Well, you don't get it at 300 because that property is going to be worth 400 in 2 years. So you get it at 330.
So the property is for sale for 300, or not for sale. The property is worth 300.
Or for sale, yeah. Let's say I would owner finance it at 300.
Okay, owner finance at 300. You will lease purchase it at 330.
Yeah, I'm throwing numbers. I mean, depending on what that growth is. But that's probably
so
high numbers.
Lease purchase it at 330. So the Smiths come in and they want to lease purchase this house. Mm-hmm. Okay, what makes them want to lease purchase it?
They don't have the money yet. They're waiting for their house to sell. They don't know if they want to move here yet.
So the difference is they don't have to pay a down payment.
Right.
They're paying $2,000 a month in rent.
Mm-hmm. And I'm probably giving them 300 of that.
What are you giving them credit for?
That probably 300 a month. It depends. That's what I can't give a percent. Like I don't have a formula for that.
Yeah. What? How do you decide? You look at market rent, obviously.
I'll look at how long they want to. Is this a 5 years? Is this a 1 year? I'll kind of look at what I want to give the credit. I mean, fortunately, I'll say, well, what? How much credit do I want to give on this particular thing? I mean, maybe this particular, if I'm going to just lease it, I don't have to give up that much money, right? And I still have a growth. So I'm weighing that stuff against me.
Place is different.
Yeah, because it can get as simple as, hey, I want to go on a ski trip or I want to buy a new lake house. Like, it's which one, what is the deal doing here that makes me make it? I know that's a little greedy.
No, it's
but,
not.
But I
it's
have
business.
To. Yeah,
it's
I have like, to look at it from that
no,
sense.
No, it's business. Yeah. Okay, so $300,000 house. I'm going to break this down. $300,000 house.
Right.
Lease purchase it to the Smiths for $330.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's going to be a two-year.
I need to show them that, by the way.
Yeah, you need to give in writing.
I need to show them why.
Oh, I got you.
I'm not ripping them off.
Yeah, it's appraising or for sale for 300. But you know what? Averaging
you got a 4% increase per year.
Whatever.
This is the history. Yeah, this is why I have to do this.
So they have a 2 year lease at $2,000 a month in rent, and you say, okay, Smiths, you're going to pay me $2,000 a month in rent. 300 of that is going to go to your purchase price.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change over time? Meaning. This month's the first 6 months it's 17 and 300. Mm. The next 6 months it's 16 and 4. It doesn't change.
I don't change it.
You don't change it. Yeah, so they're coffering. They're putting $300 a month towards that purchase.
Yeah, I'm
okay?
crediting it. Right.
You're crediting it.
Yeah,
to, so yeah. we're steadily knocking the quote principle down. Mm-hmm. They get to the end of year two, and they're like, hey, we got to move to Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they break the lease and they go on from there.
Yeah, they paid
but
rent.
But they don't get the $300. No.
No, because you just paid rent.
You just paid rent.
Yeah, you paid rent.
Okay. So they get to the end of the 2 years. What's the agreement look like there? And they want to. Hey, and you go, hey, Smith, you guys have been earlier. You guys have been on time for 2 years.
Right.
Let's just mortgage this thing. Let's just do this.
Do you guys want to owner finance it with me or do you want to get your own mortgage? If I own the house, if I own it.
Yeah.
You have to own it.
Yeah.
So then if outside of the owning it side of things, well, do you guys going to get a mortgage? Hey, we're coming up on that lease. Or would you like to re-lease?
Mm. So they have three options.
Yeah, I do.
We can finance it.
Why not?
You can go get your own mortgage or you can sign another lease.
Yeah, because think about that. Wow, I have tenants that have paid it monthly every single month for 2 years. They've taken care of the property because they think they're going to buy it.
Do you take care of the toilets and the plumbing bill and the taxes?
During the lease, you do. Yeah.
You're right. That's the difference.
But they are loving it. Like, I had a group, really have become good friends with this guy. He rented for me for 4 years. He was going to buy it. Every time I went there, something was better. He had changed all the lights. He put a new HVAC system in. He's like, I didn't want to ask you. We're going to buy it. It's like, this place is gorgeous. It's better now. And then he goes, Zach, I got a big job in Atlanta. We're out. And he says, can I cut 3 months early? Because I need, dude.
Absolutely.
Love you.
Where do we
Have
sign?
A great time, right? Because it was just like.
Because you got $8,000 in an HVAC.
New appliances, new paint. He was a builder. So he would just do everything on his own. And now, he did call me when he came back, and he's like, I'd like my house back. And I said, it's rented. I can't do anything for you. If they'll get out, I'm happy to sell it to you. And because I was, but they won't leave now. It's so great. there's nothing I could really do. And we're great friends. And he understands.
God.
He understands, too. But he really missed Birmingham.
Can you lease purchase if you don't own the house outright?
That's,
you hesitated.
That,
so.
Yeah, well, that's your wraparound. That's your wraparound. Yeah, that's your wraparound.
It's a wrap mortgage. Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's talk about how could I do that? Let me process
that. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so
first thing I would do is call an attorney and say, is this legal?
It's a wrap. It's legal. A wrap is legal because it's like a sub two.
Except they can bust your rear end.
But they don't. It's the due on sale clause.
You have to do good, though. Right?
What do you mean you have to do good?
You have to take their payment and pay that mortgage.
You do.
If you don't, you commit fraud.
But it's just like renting. It's just like a rental.
What do you mean?
It's just like having a rental. I have a $100,000 mortgage on this house, and I'm taking the rental money. Okay, it's the same process.
Mm, yes, I can see that, except is there not a slightly more personal investment into that by your purchaser?
There is, because you've got to set the purchase price, you know that, and you've got to give them credit for, let's just use your example, that $300 a month. So they say they do it for, 10 months or whatever, and so they're now at $327,000. They decide they want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You owe $100. You're selling it to them for $327. You take the $227 and you pay off the $100. I mean, you pay your $100 off and go from there.
You hope you pay it off, right? But if mm-hmm. you can't, then they've put money into their home that they think they're owning, right?
But if they're going to buy the house outright, you're going to get the windfall.
If it all goes well.
Yeah.
If it all goes well. I think you're right. Like, if all goes well, then that's a safe position to be in. But I would preach to an individual, you have a fiduciary responsibility
you
with
do.
These people's money to take it and put it into a mortgage. I've just seen it. I've seen people go buy a Porsche instead of pay their mortgage. And these people get foreclosed on and they're homeless. And then they sue these guys.
Oh, but that's ethics, though, Zach. I mean, yeah,
but
you got to do that. Like, to me, that's not even an option.
But we can't assume that people have ethics, right? Like, we can't assume that there's some people that have to learn ethics. And when that deal comes about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I said that's why I need to process. The question was, can you lease to purchase when you don't own the home? You need to notify the lease to purchaser that you don't own the home. Set up a contract that says so, that says that you will be paying this off.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then, yeah, I guess so, because they could get a mortgage and just pay your mortgage off. But that bank needs to know, too. They don't have to.
It depends on if. I see what you're saying.
Now, I'm not an attorney.
No, I'm not. None of this is legal advice or financial advice. So that's right. That's right. So if they say, if the Smiths say, this is probably too long of a conversation. This is more like sitting on coffee, sitting eating coffee. Sorry. But if they were to, and somebody's going to get in the comments and correct us. So if they were to go get a mortgage, though, it'd be just like buying the house.
Sure.
But you're saying if you went from lease purchase to owner financing, that's where it would get sticky.
Yeah, because you're right. I hear what you're saying. The lease would fall under the same thing. If you own on a if you owe on a house and you're leasing it, then that individual can say, I want the right to purchase it at this price.
Correct.
That's fine. Yes, you could do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry for.
No. I think it's great. You mentioned earlier in our conversations on the telephone that you have a handful of guys that you like to mentor / teach and learn all that stuff.
Love it.
How do you? What's that look like for you? Tell me what you're doing with these guys.
I let it come to me. I don't go out there and say, "Hey, I'm teaching."
Sure.
You know.
Oh, absolutely.
When I see someone that really cares. You know, you have people that say, this is what I want to do in life. Then you have people that you see digging ditches to do it, you know? And I had that. I think if you were to say to me, like, what is one of the most important things to have in life as a businessman or woman would be mentorship. You go out and find that guy that's 30 years older than you, and let them tell you what you're doing wrong. At 50, you and I can do that just as easily with an 80-year-old.
Oh, for sure.
That those 30-year-olds can do with us. You know
Correct.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And so I have a well of a mentorship that I can tap into when I need to.
And if you want to, I'd love to hear their name. Who is the number one person that is like, give me one or two of people that just like you are indebted to for life, for what they've given to you from a knowledge and mentorship standpoint.
So where I got lucky in my father passing away was he went to hit two of his most trusted friends and said, take care of my guy. He needs you, you know? And I'll give their names. Tony Marino.
Okay.
I don't know if you know of him, but he owned Chop a Snack.
And I remember those.
Yeah, yeah. Tony's a phenomenal guy. Mm. And Uncle Tony and Mike Strong, which is...
Mike Strong.
He's just his best friend. Wow. Mike was in the advertising business.
Okay.
I'm not going to get too perfect. They're pretty private too. But like you heard me say Lost is Strong in Lavoie. Well, I'm best buds with his son.
His son.
You follow?
Yeah, I got you. I figured that's what it was. Yeah.
So I would say Mike has always been the literal phone call away.
Like,
hey man, I just need you. Yeah. You know, he's the one that said, people are going to care about 2 days for this, and you're going to move on, and you're going to do fine, you know, and all these things. But Mike's the one that, man, if I call him, it almost doesn't matter where he is in the country. It's what do you need?
Yeah.
You know, so I would say that's a really big
And those one. Guys have helped financially, meaning the financial wisdom, the real estate wisdom, just all of the life stuff.
Yeah, let me tell you one about Mike that probably saved me a bunch of money. He knows this too. Yeah. I've told him. I was in the mortgage business, and I was loaning to all these guys along the coast. They were buying all these condos and beach houses because it was 100% no income, no asset. You need a 700 credit score. 100%. Well, they didn't care because in 2004, you were buying, you know, you could buy a condo at 250 and sell it for 300 in a week or two. You know what I mean? Because they were trying to do those construction loans, and you capture it, and then the builder would go up on the price, and you could just sell yours, and these boys were doing really well. So I went to Mike, went out to his farm, and I said, I need to talk to you, and he's got a neat little cabin, and you always, that's where you sit, is at the cabin. We're rocking in the chairs, and I said, I think I want to do this. I'm loaning all these boys money. I'm seeing them making money. I want to do it. And he says, hey. What are you going to do, borrow a bunch of money? And I said, I think so. I'm going to loan it to myself. You know, we can do it within the office, and he said, this is all a cycle. And he said, we're right at the end of this. We are right at the end. He said, if you will wait. Now, this was 05. This was 06.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you wait, and it's going to collapse. And then you'll be able to cherry pick anything you want. Right? Are you sure about that? He said, I'm sure. Done. You tell me not to do that. And I watched these boys make money for about 8 more months thinking, God, I could have made money. And then when
it happened,
They say 08, but really 07.
It's 07.
Yeah, it started to collapse.
It started collapsing in 07, but the ripple effect was in 08 on everybody else.
Completely. I would have been deep. Even though I saw I knew something was weird in the mortgage business, I didn't understand the cycle of real estate, you know? That both of those things happened.
Yeah.
And man, how much I would have lost.
Wow.
And he kept me through that. That was restaurant, right? Now 11 comes and 12, and that whole cherry pick's ringing in my ear. And Bluff Park was so prime. It was so prime that I called him and said, I'm thinking about going back into this, and this is what I want to do. And he said, man, that's what you need
to do. That's what you need to do.
And boy, we did. We did. It was incredible.
It's so funny. So a guy named, and how old are you?
47.
47. Okay, so yeah. Keith's a little older. He's 54, 55. So my buddy Keith, he owned a bunch of houses, and I'm not going to even say the name of the town part of the, I'll tell you later, but he owned a bunch of houses. He said he just started picking up houses.
Yeah.
And he had a rental business and picking up these houses. It was great. Always paid his notes. He was pretty leveraged, I would think. But then he had about 45 houses and he was managing them. It was full time. It was him and two maintenance guys, and they just ran it.
Wow.
He got there at 8 o'clock in the morning, left at 9 o'clock at night, or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, just business. Okay?
Wow.
And he said, and then 07, 08 hit. He said, and I had done a very good job of keeping great relationships with all these banks. And he said, I remember it like it was yesterday. He said, and every guy that had three rental houses and a Hummer defaulted.
Funny.
On everything.
Yeah.
And he said, I said, what do you mean a Hummer?
That's
he
funny.
Said, because you'd drive down the street and about every fifth car was a Hummer, because
yeah.
The Hummers were really popular.
Right,
back
right.
Then. About every fifth car was a Hummer. And there's a guy that had two or three rental houses. He was cash out refinance and going and buying his Hummer and all this stuff. He said, and 07, 08 hit. And he said, Thomas, he said, these banks that I had been making great relationships with, they were calling me. He said, Thomas, I was buying houses for $9,000 a piece. And he said he went from 45 to 110 in like 2 years.
Wow.
He held them and grew it, like increased rents, keep the houses up, all that good stuff. And
yeah.
He sold it to sold 140 houses to private equity.
Wow. Wow.
But like, if you can see those dips, and take advantage, and I say take advantage, that's a bad term, but if you can take advantage of those dips.
Yeah, that's business.
Yeah, that's business. You can be extremely profitable.
But the only way to see it, in my opinion, if you've not lived it yet, is to go to the guys that have lived it.
Yeah.
You have to have that. So I still have Mike, I still have Tony, and then I have one more guy that's just phenomenal. His name's Wayne Gillis.
Okay.
He was in the advertising business as well. Super smart.
Yeah.
God loving.
All these guys are older than you?
Oh, yeah. They're all in their late 70s. Middle, well, they may be mad at me there. Maybe let's say early 70s.
They're early 70s.
All super active. Not everybody gets that. I know that a door's got open to me to get with these kind of guys.
But it's incredibly valuable, number one. Number two, as parents, how many kids you got?
None.
No kids. Yeah, okay. As parents, I've got to keep those relationships so that my kids can do just like your dad did.
Can I give you, you're right. I'll give you a story about that. We lived at South Shades Crest Mountain on 50 acres. My dad, restaurant business, when he was done saying, howdy do, that's what we say, howdy do.
Howdy do.
We went behind gates, these old country wagon gates on 50 acres, and he had his garden, and you didn't talk to him till 4 o'clock, till it opened back up. We were the family that, who the hell's at our door right now?
That's right. Yeah. What?
Excuse my language.
What are we doing?
Send the Rottweilers.
Did you invite somebody?
And get the gun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, why are you out here? Well, then they lived, the Straws lived out in Chelsea when it was nothing.
Oh, back in the day. Oh,
nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I had my dirt bike and my stuff and all. All right, so I'm not going to go. I'm sorry I talked much. I talked too much. And I'm probably six, I don't know, maybe I'm seven or eight because I have a dirt bike. So we're going to the Strongs, and I'm having to leave my dirt bike at my house and drive to Chelsea, which to me was out of town.
That's like Huntsville.
Yeah. So I'm in tears. I want to ride my dirt bike.
Right.
I don't want to go out to these people's house. And he pulls over, and he goes, you look here. I'll never forget this.
Yeah.
He goes, these are some of the best people you'll ever meet.
Mm.
These boys are going to be your best friends. You will thank me for this one day.
Wow.
you are going, and you and I said, you know,
and you're going to enjoy it.
And you're going to enjoy it.
I love it. That's so good. Man. But it's so true.
Ooh, he's smart. My dad was smart. There was no doubt.
Yeah, keep going.
He's got. I'm going to give you one example of this. He's got. God, I had a LaVoy story I wanted to tell you, but we're.
Like, I want to hear it.
We're way
care.
Too
I
long. Nobody cares about all this. Yeah. But he journaled. This is 1995.
Okay. Back when journaling wasn't cool.
He died in 96. Right? Yeah. He journaled for us. I'm thinking about this for you guys. I'm thinking about you should do this. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, anywhere he was. He did alternative medicine in the Bahamas. He didn't do chemo till right to the end.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he said, we all as a family, he said, are y'all okay? I'm going to buy me a place in the Bahamas. We had a home in Jamaica. And he said, I'm going to buy a place in the Bahamas. I just want to live on the islands, y'all, and try to figure this out. Because they tell me I'm dying anyway. So we would go to the Bahamas and hang with him and whatever else. All right, so he was very eccentric. Anyway, I told you, he said, don't sell spaghetti. Right, like, don't do this, don't do that. But so he's journaling this, and I'm thinking about you guys, and love God and all of this. And then at the very end, he goes, if you want to do food, food trucks are the future.
No.
1995.
Are you kidding me?
That's what he said. It's written right there. It just says, food trucks are the future. And I think back on that. I was like, Dad, if you only knew what you saw coming, you know, with that. Is that not crazy?
Do you know why he said that?
I don't.
Zach, that is like a prophet.
My grandfather used to say, all this is nice. Their little accents and how they word, he'd say, all this is nice, looking at all the people. He'd say, but you really, what we should have done, he would call the Gus, I don't remember the Gus Hot Dogs guy. But he'd always call him smart. They were friends. He'd say, such and such was so smart. It's a counter. They give you the money, you hand them a paper plate, and they go and they throw it away, and that's it. He said, that's the smartest thing you can do. And I don't know if Dad took that and said, wait a second, I can now go where I need to as well.
Sure.
I don't know what that was, but that was his thing. He was like, that was what you need to do if you do it.
In 1995.
Anyway, that's
love that.
Yeah, it was funny. So he also had this foresight of these are the men that are gonna help you. And still, I mean, at 45 or 47, I'll still call Mike.
Sure.
You know.
That's incredible.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to give out your information because I think that you've got so much information that you could give, and I know how private you are. But I just want to say thank you because, like, there's been like little bits and pieces of all the things that we're gonna. That you've laid on us. The last question I have is someone that's in the 17 to 25 year old range, and they come to you and they say, "I need some real estate business advice." What are you going to tell them?
17 to 25. I tell them all the time. Find a trade within the business before you get into the real estate business. Find a trade within the business.
Mm.
Whether it's you work in the construction, go hang sheetrock. And watch what the other boys are doing. Get in the mortgage business to understand the money or become a real estate agent. To learn the contracts, the negotiations.
Don't just be an investor.
You can't. You cannot go into this. All right, let's go this route.
Yeah.
People think money is the hard part. How did you get funded? How did you do that? How do I get the money to do this? And then how do I find those houses? And for me, what I tell people is there's lots of money out there.
Sure.
There's lots of people that want to do what someone else is doing but doesn't have the knowledge.
Yeah.
So for me, the knowledge is the value. So as soon as you gather the knowledge that you need and you're a trustworthy person, the money just kind of comes in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I tell those guys and girls, become valuable in your knowledge. One, people can't beat you. That's that whole, Zach, you're going to wash the dishes because two reasons. When he doesn't show, your business is still going to run. And the second reason is don't let the door hit you in the
no doubt
on the way out, right? Same thing. So I would never just say jump right in. Go learn. Well, I don't want to be patient. It comes. Why you need money at 25? You need money at 35, right?
Because
you're
very
not
true.
Smart with it at 25.
Yeah.
At 35, we figure out we really didn't know anything.
But at 25, in 17 to 25, and we got a guy that's 24 behind the camera over there, like, you don't need near as much to live and function.
You sure don't.
As I do at 44.
Completely.
I'm going to go to Louisville this weekend and spend way too much money.
Right.
Watching travel volleyball.
And you got to pay for everybody.
And I got to pay for everybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like,
And the amount of things that you can withstand, and I always tell people this, is like graduating from high school, or excuse me, graduating from college, or that time when if you decide not to go to college, if you can live with your parents and work full time, it's like cheating.
Oh, for sure. It's crazy.
So I graduated from high school, from college, no college debt. Go live with my dad. He says, you got to pay the power bill. If you want to keep it cold in here, son, you're going to have to pay the power bill. I said, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And so I had a $107 power bill I had to pay every month. Wow. Other than that, I saved and stacked it and invested all that money for 2 years.
Yeah, wow.
And it's like cheating.
It really is.
It's like cheating.
The other thing I would tell them is don't be afraid of failure.
Mm.
Failure is, in my opinion, failure is another way of when someone goes and pays tuition to learn in college.
Absolutely.
Right? And they, instead of beating yourself up, pay the tuition. You failed.
Yeah.
Learn. Do the
stupid
next
tax.
One. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And you get to be so lucky at 25 to be stupid.
Yeah.
You can't be so stupid at 45.
You can't.
It affects too many people.
You can't.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all I got.
Awesome.
All right,
you've been great. Appreciate
enjoyable.
It. Yes, sir. Thanks
so
much.
Thank you.
All right.